This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 71 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. In today's episode, we have sex toys with Rosemary Pink. Here's your host, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting across the desk is the Beast. Hey, Beast.
Hey, Woody, forget me. I don't know why you're talking to me.
I can hardly see you over there.
I know. We got things between us, but we have much, much more attractive views in here tonight. We have a very bosomy, sparkly guest, and you're looking at me, Woody.
I only glanced over your direction.
Okay, thank you.
But I am completely fascinated by what is on the desk.
It looks like a rainbow. Looks like a unicorn vomited rainbow.
Or something like that.
Skittles. That's what it is. Skittles.
This is the Sex Toy Show.
And we have Rosemary Pink with Friction. And I think that's a very apropos company name with us tonight. Hello, Rose.
Hi. Glad to be here. I like Friction just because it deals with both the very sexual aspects of it, but also the way in which we all interact and the way in which discourse can be really sexy and... Yes. Okay. It appealed to all of the various types of nerd that I am.
It was a perfect name for your company, but it actually is kind of belies what your product is. You are the queen, I will say that without reservation, of the sex toy you brought in.
And not everything, just a selection.
Crates and crates of toys.
We have them scattered in front of us on the desk. I have not seen anything like some of these toys that Miss Pink has brought tonight. And there is one of them that I have in my hand. And I'm going to push the button on the back of it.
More power.
This is a very powerful vibrator.
All in a lipstick case.
It is the tiniest thing that would go in a pocket or a purse. And it's got all kinds of little modes on it that are... Oh, here. And on it goes. And it is so powerful. I can actually see it moving. It's out of focus. It's moving so much. And it is only 3 inches long. It is amazing. And it has non-contact charging.
Yes, yes. So if you told me a year ago that the toy I would be most excited about in the next year or so would be a bullet, I would have really not believed that. The two toys that I've been super excited about in the last year were the Minilimone and the WeVibe Tango. The WeVibe Tango is surprisingly amazing.
Is that what this one is?
Yes, that's the WeVibe Tango, the periwinkle.
It is so cool.
And because it's so small, it can fit in most things that you can insert a bullet into. So double-ended dildos that have a space for a bullet, using the Tango on that makes them kind of whole new toys.
But you don't even have to have a toy.
That's true.
You can direct application. I had a young lady, she worked down in a very busy part of the world. On lunch, she went out and bought a bullet. She couldn't wait to try it. 6-car pileup.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I remember that I used to see occasionally things that plugged into a car to charge. And I feel like you definitely don't anymore, perhaps because of situations like that. Yeah, that seems to have become less popular as an option.
With this one, the rechargeable capability of it is fantastic because this would use a lot of batteries otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, it makes it waterproof so that you can take it into the bath. You don't have to worry about it being splash-proof and exactly what qualifies as a splash. I do love, as much as you know, it makes things slightly more expensive. The magnetic recharging does make, gives you a lot of options with toys that you didn't have before. And that's really, really lovely.
How did you get into the sex toy business?
Well, I guess you always start out as a really excited amateur, buying toys yourself. I know that I, when I was 18, I happened to be on a trip in New York, and I scampered over to Purple Passion, which was a Dyke sex toy store there. I believe it still exists. I can't swear. That was my first sex toy store. And I bought something that was very definitely jelly. It was, and it also, like, you know, at the time I was like, well, okay, I don't really know what I'm looking for in toys, but, I definitely, you know, it was shiny and glittery, and I was like, okay, that seems appealing.
If it glitters, it's gold.
Right? You know, and there are definitely great glittery options now, but, it was a toy that wasn't very appealing. I didn't really care for it. And later, it, you know, left marks in the drawer it was stored in.
And that brings us to something. Jelly belongs in jars, right?
Yes, yes. I
so you brought your own jar.
Yes, I did bring a jar of some toys that are jelly and some toys that are the unspecified flesh-like material. And you, people make jars like these to see how toys deteriorate over time. I bought random stuff off of Amazon. I put it in a jar. I put in one of the little Trojan cock rings that broke apart and is on various pieces in there.
Yeah, it's running around in the jar like I wouldn't want that on any part of my body. I know that. And some of these dildos that you have in the jar, they're melting.
Yeah, so you can definitely see like the ways that they're interacting with one another. Like both some are generating their own liquids, which is not something you really want.
No.
And you can sort of just see how they are sort of degrading. Like they're generating sort of an oily liquid. The pieces that of the cock ring that broke apart are on various ones of them and kind of melding into them. And yeah, it's sort of fascinating to watch it all.
I'm thinking that needs a hazardous material sticker.
Oh, yeah. EPA is going to be here through here.
Yeah, Woody, we're going to be a super fun site,
yeah,
after this.
No kidding.
I promise it's well sealed.
That's good.
You figured out early on, as you explored toys, that some toys just didn't measure up, even though they're expensive.
Right. And so, like, you know, I think that definitely, you know, one of the things about toxic toys is that, like, what we refer to as toxic, and again, this was not something that occurred to me. Like, this was something that's, the work has been done by the people behind Smitten Kitten, Claire Jackie and Jennifer Pritchett, the people behind Babeland. Like, there's been an impetus, like, in the industry to check out which toys are and aren't unsafe for the body. And that's mostly come from people. It's not really come from inside the major sex toy industries in the U.S., companies in the U.S. They essentially, like, after things became, you know, major companies, like Doc Johnson is named for Lyndon B. Johnson is kind of a joke. But like these major companies, they were sort of making toys, and there wasn't anybody kind of being like, hey, this could be better. You had Metis Black, who was really one of the first people to try and get silicone into the major toy stores everywhere. So it wasn't just sort of like luxury boutique type places where you could get safe toys. But sort of the change in the industry has come from people being like, maybe we don't want to sell these, and we'd like you to make something that we can sell. Most of what I carry is sort of by smaller brands. There are complicated factors at work. Obviously, you know, one of the things that's nice from the major companies here, a lot of, like, dildos that they make are made in the U.S., and that's really great from a labor perspective. But at the same time, they're making them out of materials that aren't great to use internally. And it doesn't necessarily mean if you use a toy that, you know, doesn't have phthalates, but is still made of jelly, you might not get an infection You might not get a yeast infection.
You might not. I'm noticing the mites in there.
Well, right, right. Certainly people have. And people have gotten like chemical burns and things like that. The majority of the...
That's terrifying.
And I don't mean to play that down. Obviously, that is not ideal by any means. But it's also that sometimes, like, it's not just that this contains something that is going to make you ill right now. It's that it might contain something that down the road could make you ill. Or cleaning it is impossible because it's made out of material that you can't clean. I don't think I'm going to be spilling any secrets here that the majority of sex toys are not made in, like, clean rooms. They're made in factories. They're made in places where people are doing their job, but they're not, you know, sitting there wearing all gloves, like completely covered from head to toe, like they're making meth. It's much more casual. And so, like, you know, you always want to wash a toy when you get it, just because that's the way it works.
Wash and disinfectant.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, like, I will say, I think, like, washing with something that's pretty oriented towards cleaning, disinfectant's a little tricky, just because if it's something that's insertable, you know, you have, there is microbial life in you, mm-hmm. and some of that needs to be there to be good. So they make things that are antibacterial. One of the major toy companies makes a material that they say is antibacterial, porous, but antibacterial. But that also can be a problem because that can kill bacteria that you need internally to not get infections and things like that.
I don't think I'd want something that says antibacterial on it because that means it's going to exude chemicals. For instance, when I clean up for a play session, I use a hospital-grade disinfectant, which has a life of 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, it's just inert.
Right. And I think inert is a really good phrase to learn for these things, because when you're talking about things like jelly rubber and these sort of things that are degrading, those are not inert. Those are essentially always off-gassing chemicals. Like, if we open this jar, which I don't recommend.
No.
There would be a very strong chemical smell. Mm-hmm. And so you know, one thing I mentioned last time was that when you're looking for a toy, you really want to get something that's not scented. Because in general, if something is scented, they're trying to hide the chemical smell.
I've thrown various dildo things in the plastic bins that I store things in. And I open the lid after a while and it's like the smell knocks you out.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like when people paint the walls, if they're using something that has volatile organic compounds, there's a smell and that smell will continue. So there's very much been a move from people to like paint with less toxic paints because they don't want to be in a space where it's off-gassing chemicals for however long.
I have a scarier. I've actually thrown them in plastic and come back and the plastic has a melted part in it. The toy's got this deformity on it where they two touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible concept.
You really don't want toys that change shape. Yeah. Generally speaking, that's not going to happen with a good quality material.
You have changing shape, and then there's also changing color, you know, where the pickup colors.
Yeah.
You put a black one and a flesh color one, and all of a sudden they get marks on them and things like that.
I mean, I've certainly heard that cyber skin can pick up, like, newsprint. So, yeah.
It can pick up a lot of things.
Well, I'm sure.
I am just seeing a murder case where it comes down to the newsprint on the toy, right? Mm. We have a CSI episode brewing here.
I'm certain. Yeah. This proves it was done on this day because this was the story in the newspaper.
Sex toys are not new.
No, definitely not.
They are as old as sex is, probably. Some of the early materials. Stone.
Yeah.
So we see, so again, like we found like a highly polished silt stone as far back as the Paleolithic era. So probably about 30,000 years ago. And to some extent, people try and, I think, mute sort of the terminology that they use for these things because I suspect that people are not super eager to be known as the archaeologist that discovered the dildo. So, you know, there's a lot of. I would like it.
Yeah.
Well, I feel that we, in this room, we are all much more comfortable with things like that. But if you've spent your life as a pretty staid academic, you might try and find another explanation before sort of comping to what it actually is. But yeah, we definitely see like carved stone, a lot of essentially like carving what was happening is what was happening for the first thousands of years. Romans, we think, were the people that maybe came up with the first double dildo. Ancient Greeks, we think, are the people that maybe came up with what could be considered the first dual density toy, because they would take a carved dildo and cover it with leather. Hmm. And you certainly see that, you know, through sort of Victorian times. But in China, we see cast bronze dildos. Very complex. And that's sort of the first time we see casting
for this. Well, the Chinese actually had a very, very robust, open sex world there. That there's an incredible amount of artwork that come out of those eras.
Well, and definitely, like, you certainly see a lot more references to dildos, like, essentially the ancient Greeks on, like, as well. Like, you'll see dildos in their pottery, on their vases. You'll see a lot of references to both just the actual dildo, to some extent, because it's possible they didn't really figure out exactly what female masturbation would look like besides penetration.
Phallic is phallic.
Yes, yes.
Dildo, where did the word come from?
Well, that's a really good question, and no one is really 100% certain. You know, we have references to what were dildos. You know, Aristophanes, Lysistrata refers to 8-fingered leather dildos, which sounds terrifying and very science fiction until you realize that that was a measurement, which means about 5 to 6 inches. They're sort of like trying to account for where the phrase came from. You know, it's very different. Some people feel it came from the Italian for delight, diletto. Some people feel that it could reference a part on a boat that they think looks very much like a dildo. We certainly see the term in Shakespeare, The Winter's Tale, and that's the first time we really have a written record of the specific term.
The bard is the first one to put the word down.
Yeah, he and Ben Jonson both had plays that referenced it. Lysistrata, you know, was using it abstractly referring to it, but that's the first time we really see the term in print.
And then came Steely Dan, and I'm not talking about the music.
No, you're talking about the Naked Lunch dildo. So that's actually, I think, probably fairly disconcerting to some Steely Dan fans. But so the Steely Dan is referred to as one of a series of dildos in Naked Lunch, which is by William Burroughs, and a pretty intense read in general, as most of his works are. That is indeed sort of to bring us almost up to date in terms of references to dildos. But yeah, so there's no clear path that we can point to. You know, again, people have referred to, like, maybe it came from this boat, maybe it came from the dill related to, like, the pickled cucumber. People aren't really certain.
I like delight.
I think that's nice. And there's definitely a company that makes beautiful glass dildos, fucking sculptures. They definitely make some toys that I feel like really captured that spirit.
We'll have more sex toys with Rosemary Pink right after this message from our friends at Self.
I'm coming for the rope.
You know, I'm going for the electricity.
I've heard they've even got classes for introverts.
It's Southeast Leather Fest. You never know what's going to happen.
Visit SELeatherFest.com and come to Self June 11th through the 14th in Atlanta and erect your
in front of us, we have a number of dildos in literally all shapes and sizes, some that are electrified, some that aren't, some that look like suction cup on the bottom. You can stick them to your bathroom wall or bathtub rim and have a little fun with it. One that I was looking at here has a big hole in the bottom of it, and the little lipstick bullet dildo that I opened the show with, I stuck it inside it just to see what the effect would be. And I will tell you, this is amazing. The whole dildo is shaking at an amazing rate. I would love to be playing with this with somebody right now.
I do feel like you, particularly with that pattern, it does kind of have a very sci-fi vibe feel. But yeah, again, the Tango is just a really great all-purpose toy. You know, I I did not expect to like it as much as I did, but it's one of her people that, you know, we're really just magic wand people. It is a toy that I genuinely gave to a friend before they were going on a vacation. I was like, they hadn't tried a vibrator in a while. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give you this. If you hate it, I will eat the cost. But I think you're going to like it. And I think it's a good reintroduction to vibrators. And I got some very effusive texts while they were on vacation.
Oh.
And yeah, you've now discovered the Stronic Eins from Fun Factory.
Oh, my God.
It's moving. It's
moving my hand back and forth.
Yeah, I've had several times where I've been holding it out to people, like, in my hand, and they've been like, I don't understand why you're shaking it at me. And I'm like, I'm not. I know that seems like I'm just really insistent about this vibrator. But it is not a vibrator. It doesn't vibrate in the way that we expect toys to.
It's a thruster.
Yes. I believe they refer to it as a pulsator. They are very strongly intentional about not referring to it as a vibrator. But yeah, they've made three in this line. This is the more traditional penetration one. They made one that is more for anal, and they made one that is more for G-spot.
But it's certainly still in the dildo form.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, I feel that these categories sometimes meld together. You know, I think that things that are made for penetration are often made for penetration of whatever orifice you're thinking of. You know, I think for anal, sometimes the only difference is that people want a flange on it so that it does not disappear up their butt.
Disappear forever, yeah.
Right, because no one likes to make a trip to the ER that way. You know, and that's definitely been like an issue with people with toys that are not actually made for butt play.
We have an episode with the doctors coming up, which is
nice.
That covers all the interesting things they've dug out of people.
Yeah. There have definitely been some interesting x-rays.
I just remember a FET thread that I was following today. Three golf balls and then the butt plug.
Yeah, I think that throughout history, there have definitely been a lot of case studies of people coming in saying that a horrible accident had happened that they could not have predicted. But somewhere along the line, the narrative breaks down because, you know, it seems unlikely that you would have put these in to try to get the other one out that happened accidentally if you put it in handle first. You know, it's just something where people really don't want to own up to what they were doing and are using toys that maybe weren't designed for what they're using them for.
A pervertible.
Yes.
We have a table of toys.
We do. There are so many options these days.
So many options. And the typical buyer, is it a woman, is it a man?
Well, I probably deal more with women, and that might be just because of my business and the way that I function, because I'm essentially sort of working with people individually, and I have specific niches. I work a lot with queer people, I work a lot with women, and I work a lot with trans men. Just because no one seemed to be really reliably stocking things like Stand-A-Pee and binders and stuff locally. So that was something that I wanted to do just because I happen to know a lot of guys looking for those things. And it sort of is adjacent to this.
You are dealing with women, so they're buying for themselves.
Mostly, yes. Occasionally I've had women come in and buy for their partners. I think it's a little harder. I think that there are really great options for prostate toys now, but overall I feel like there are fewer toys that are designed really well for men, and maybe that's not super important to them, but yeah, I do feel like in terms of like body safe materials, yeah, I do feel like there's not as much attention paid to men.
So a woman's coming to you, she's wanting to have access to quality toys to select from, because you go to adult bookstores and they may have some quality materials.
But it is also surrounded by many not quality materials.
And you don't get really a chance to touch them.
Right. And I mean, that's part of what I think is sort of sad is because, you know, I certainly, you know, I've been to many like beige slat wall like places and, you know, I don't think they're not trying to do a good job, but they are trying to stock a lot of products and just see what works. But it doesn't seem like they ever sort of refine that down. And so, yeah, I definitely, you know, I sell a lot of different things.
So after they get over their embarrassment, and I'm sure there's the giggles, the embarrassment, all that, and we get down to actually talking the product. What are they looking for? What is a woman looking for in a sex toy?
Genuinely, I do think that the aesthetics of it are important to a lot of women, just because, you know, I would say I didn't really bring any toys out today that are super representational. They are not flesh tone. I would say that the majority of women that I deal with are not looking for that. I feel like there are things that are sort of believed that straight women will be interested in that just don't actually work out that way. And that's been true sort of in my experience. I sell a lot of very non-representational toys, and sometimes that's because I'm dealing with queer women who are not especially interested in penises. And sometimes that's just, I think, visually, if someone's looking for penetration, they aren't necessarily needing it to look exactly like a penis.
Dare I say it's more about the sensation?
I think that's true. I think that's true. I think women have, you know, certainly the nerves are sort of earlier in the vagina, but the majority of them in terms of what you feel from penetration. But I think like a textural feel, and that is more important in a lot of ways than does this look like something I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing some representational. They're very phallic in shape, and they're very traditional. The colors aren't traditional, but the shape is traditional. Then I reach over and I pull up something that looks like a...
Could be a very fancy remote for the television.
Yeah, it could be.
It's red. It is.
It's got like a diamond surface on the bottom of it.
Diamond surface on the bottom, which is a magnetic charger again.
Yeah.
And if you have a penis like this coming at you, run.
Okay. Yeah, but I could tell
well,
you there's a lot of women that would
which
run
would be...
to it.
Yeah, but... these are actually very effective toys, aren't they?
Yeah. No, this is actually a company that I'm pretty excited about that's just coming to the U.S., Lemarouse. And they have really beautifully designed toys. They sit on their little chargers that are very sort of working with the geometric aesthetic that lots of things have these days of being kind of looking like it's been carved. And so this is actually a toy that's meant for G-spot, like action, and they all this one particularly also heats.
Really?
Yes. This is called the Rosa Rouge. There are versions of this that don't heat because that's not something that's interesting for everybody, but this one heats up a little while you use it. It's a company out of France. They make some really beautiful toys, and they're definitely sort of a luxury line. Yeah, their toys have a really great look and a pretty strong vibration.
So you are educating your customer many times on they know what gets them off, but they
or
don't
not.
Always or not, but they don't always know the why.
That's definitely true. We definitely live in a state where sex education is not a high priority in schools, and what exists is pretty abstinence based. So a lot of people are sort of like their concept of sex is very much based in media and what they see from porn and. Because no one gets to 18 without ever seeing porn. Like, that's just not a thing. Their ideas of what gets them off is very based in that.
But if we were just a couple hours further south, we'd be in the midst of a major felony right now.
That is true. We should be very glad we're not in Alabama.
Yeah.
Well,
how many years would this be?
Yeah.
In Texas, you cannot sell a dildo.
Yeah, and it's interesting to kind of watch sort of how people in those states deal with that. There are definitely sex toy stores in Alabama, but they sort of have to work within frameworks that are somewhat ridiculous.
Novelties.
Well, and that's something that's kind of been a thing for the overall industry forever. There's actually been a little bit of movement in terms of the regulation of lube recently.
Regulation of lube.
Right. So when I was last here, I was talking about how this industry is completely unregulated. No one is checking into claims about material and that. So you kind of have to do research yourself, find brands that you trust. And there are a couple of specific other things. But there's a lube company in the UK that makes a really great lube, one of which is specifically oriented towards people trying to conceive. But they make a really nice water-based and a really nice oil-based lube. And they are not allowed to import it into the U.S. right now. And so at the same time as that was happening, they've started to sort of look at, for instance, Sliquid. Now, Sliquid's been on the market for quite a while. But now they're suddenly saying, like, we need to test this. It is an incredibly expensive process. And Slickwood, which is very proud of their being vegan, really hates the idea of them being, like, injected into bunnies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I am thinking of our gridlock Congress. Mm. We were hung up on a sex trafficking law for weeks and weeks and weeks. But yet our government's worried about restricting importation of a quality sex lube. I guess that does fit, doesn't it?
So what was the reason it couldn't be imported?
Well, so they're starting to kind of look at lube as being almost a medical device in some ways, like particularly because of, I think that the one that is meant to be more oriented towards people trying to conceive. If something is a medical device, you have to be able to prove that claim.
Wow.
That has to be a little terrifying for a lot of sex toy companies, because there are certainly claims they make that they can't back up. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think the people that I work with are particularly worried about that, because they're not generally making the claims that are, you know, super far out there. But there's definitely a lot, certainly the supplement industry has been sort of allowed to run rampant for a very long time with no one checking in.
If we separate the dangerous toys, the toys that degrade and outgas and all those things, and move them off to the side, then we have to move the medical devices off to the other side, because they have to prove claims. You have the great mid ground then of devices that appeal to you, either visually or functionally. I know that a couple of the devices I picked up here I would love to use on somebody I love, because they are fantastic.
Well, they're just sensual materials in some ways. Like,
oh, yeah. The shapes are beautiful.
Yeah, they're curvy and pretty. And I see, like, you have a glass toy and one at the Knob Essence, like the Knob Essence G-Spotter toy by you. And yeah, they look lovely.
On the glass toys and the acrylic toys, they are a non-porous surface. And so cleaning becomes a lot easier on them.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that I think people don't always think about is that you probably want to inspect your toy before you use it. I mean, certainly you want to come home and clean it, but also you want to look at it. One of the toys I brought in tonight, that through no fault of its own, because I do throw these things all together into containers a lot, this actually has a little cut in it. I was actually powdering this down with cornstarch earlier, because it's one of the dual density toys. But so this has gotten cut just a little bit. And so that's creating not a pore like jelly, but it's something that you have to be aware of in terms of cleaning and things like that. So you want to keep an eye out. Now, that's a much bigger deal if it's glass, obviously.
Right.
Now, pretty much most glass toys are going to be in the, we cannot officially call it Pyrex, because they don't really, you know, there are people that have the trademark on that might not want it associated with sex toys.
If you don't want to use the term Pyrex, you use borosilicate glass.
Yes, and that's what you'll see. But essentially, it's a particularly highly cured glass. Like, it's heated to, like, a crazy degree.
It has a low coefficient of expansion, which is the whole thing. Pyrex cookingware can go from the freezer to the oven. And the whole thing about it is that it doesn't expand or contract much.
Right. And that, I mean, that came out of, you know, wanting things for trains where they wouldn't break windows. For all that they do not want to be associated with sex toys and things like that, God knows Pyrex tubes show up a lot in, you know, the history of sexology and people trying to do studies about sex.
Masters and Johnson.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. The Pyrex tube, very common. But I see you're picking up one of the new electrical toys. Yeah.
I like electrical toys.
Yeah, it's been a really good time for that sort of thing. For a long time, electrical was just very expensive. Not everybody wants to pay $600 for a violet wand. And so, you know, people have always found TENS units and things like that. But there's a company out of, I believe, Germany called MyStim, and they've made a lot of sort of really neat toys that have, so this is actually a toy that has silicone, but also contacts. And there's a little TENS unit that you can get. And I think their toys are pretty neat. But the starter cost has come down a little from.
Yes, it used to be you got a hold of surplus or secondhand TENS units and you converted them, or you went to the very expensive scientific modeled console units that set you back thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and so, you know, now I think you have things that you can plug into some of the older TENS units, but also, you know, like you have Kink Lab making the Neon Wand, which is sort of a maybe somewhat less intense version of...
Violet Wand Light.
Violet Wand Light, yes.
Yes.
But for people that aren't sure if they're into that, you know, I think that that's a good way of knowing.
It's it's 90 to 100 bucks, and it's an easy intro point.
Yeah, and so it's just not as inaccessible to people as some of the other items. So you get to find out if it's something that interests you.
I'm looking at this MyStim unit here, and it's an insertable, and it's a bipolar probe for those who play with electricity, and that means that both wires plug into it, and it doesn't have current traveling anywhere through the body. It's just on the probe itself. And this probe is designed to slide in and sit right on the G-spot. I would love to try this.
They've made some pretty neat products. They've made little like gloves that have like conductive thread throughout them, which you'll probably have seen in, you know, gloves since everyone's gotten attached to their phones for touchscreens. They made like, you know, gloves like that. And so they're just making some neat toys, toys that both function as vibrators and electroplay toys, which I think people have been pretty excited about existing now.
You use the term vibrator, and for a lot of people, the word Hitachi is the magic wand, of course. And since then, there's been changes at Hitachi.
Right. So they sort of sold their patent to Vibratex, who are making the original magic wand now. It was sort of the only thing that Hitachi had that was sex related, and so it was always a little bit of a weird fit. And so I think that
put Hitachi on the map.
It definitely did. Yeah. I mean, you don't hear Hitachi in many other contexts personally. Definitely the Hitachi, you know, I will say this.
Anybody that knows the sound of a Hitachi.
Yeah.
And that's the sound of a good time for many of us.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, people were very nervous about it changing over. I will say that it is not a toy that if it didn't have this sort of historical importance, I maybe wouldn't love it very much in terms of the top, because the top is not a super body safe material. Now, packaged as a massager for your back, not an issue.
Which is the way they show it on the
box.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Totally, for your back and neck. The thing about this is you can get it off, and you can replace it, and you can put things over it.
I also use the jumbo condoms.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people use a condom over the head so that they can use it with multiple partners. If they are not covering it with something silicone, that's a quick way to make it safe.
You have a couple pop-on units here. It goes right over the ball on the end of the wand, and turns into a phallic, and you can insert that and all that, and it carries the vibration inside. It's not nearly as efficient as some of these other devices that are on the table.
No, I mean, like, and, you know, it's something that, indeed, as we turned it on, you can hear it's very powerful. There are people that use it through a pillow. There are people that use it through jeans. You know, it's not something that someone's always like, well, that is an intensity that I want right next to me. I would maybe like that through a buffer of some fashion.
Do remember I'm a sadist.
Yes, well, we were thinking electrical play. I think it's cattle prod and stun guns. But anyway.
You're so over the top.
Now, vibration. You have the traditional one, then you have the new rechargeable version.
Right.
Which is prototyping, I believe. You have one of the early.
That's this one right here. And it looks very similar. They've streamlined it in a couple ways. The head's a little nicer. It's a different material.
It's silicone now.
And it's got three buttons on it. So I'll push the first button, which is power. And you hear that nice low rumble.
Yeah. Now, it is definitely a somewhat lower, rumblier vibration. I think it's... So, you know, I think that one of the rechargeable wand-type toys that's really hit has been the Lalo Smart Wand in large. The medium gets less good reviews. But the Lalo Smart Wand in large Has been really popular, and it's also, however, very expensive.
We'll try that one in just a second, because that one was pretty amazing when I tried it.
Yeah.
I'm going to crank up this magic wand. This is the Magic Wand Rechargeable. It's like test tones.
Now, question. Do women have frequencies?
So actually,
turn on frequencies?
So actually, that's a really interesting question, because I do think that there has been a trend in the last few years to make vibration more rumbly, and that I think that's really working for a lot of women.
The Hitachi Magic Wand back in the old days, the original, the low speed was the popular speed, not the high speed.
Right.
And a lot of people wished it would go lower. Of course, the problem is with a mechanical device, when you just slow it down,
yeah,
the intensity drops along with it.
Well, and so I think that there were some people for whom the Hitachi didn't work, and they would specifically refer to it as itchy. And that's something that you hear,
yes,
from people that are having with vibration that's not working for them. It's like that it's described as an itchy vibration sometimes. And so I think of that as
it's
buzzier.
An irritant. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a buzzier vibration.
So Lalo really kind of worked that out with this one. If you can hear
that is
this.
Intensely rumbly.
That's very low.
And it's probably not even going to pick up on the podcast very well, but it is so low and so intense. Very, very heavy shake. And then I can push the button on this.
Definitely at different frequencies.
And then there's other buttons.
And that appeals to the sadist in us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going now.
Well, and so, you know, I think that, like, traditional bullet is seen as, like, a little more buzzy. I have sort of a buzzier end style vibrator here. And you can kind of hear that that's a higher pitch tone.
And she has the traditional silver bullet,
corded
silver bullet vibrator that comes in. Many, many makers have them. And
it's the electronic controller behind it that's the real gem on that one.
Yeah.
And this is another toy that's sort of...
Whoa.
Yeah. And so, like, this toy is a great G-spotter, but that's a pretty buzzy...
Yeah.
It's a pretty buzzy thing. So, like, this came out as, like, a glass toy covered with silicone first, mm-hmm, and then they released the rechargeable. And, you know, people like rechargeables, and that's exciting. But the buzziness of this has been a little iffy.
And I am looking at that, and I'm thinking Sherlock Holmes is...
Oh, yeah. I could see that. Yes. I could see that.
Yes. To just give our listeners some idea, these are not phallic-shaped at all.
These are not your old broomsticks.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, and historically, it's interesting because, like, historically, vibrators definitely ended, like, they began at sort of the massager end of things. You know, they were originally sort of a treatment for hysteria, which was sort of a bit of a misunderstanding about how women worked. But
it worked well for the woman.
I remember the picture of those. It was like a motor that you put on your hand. It was like springs or something that would hold it.
I have one.
Do you?
I'd have one of those.
Oh,
yes.
You sick puppy.
Well, and you can definitely see, like, some great examples of them at the Antique Vibrator Museum that Good Vibes runs. Carol Queen curates that, and she's brilliant and amazing. But so, like, the sort of how vibrators developed was as sort of seen as this home device. One of the first few things to be electrified for use in the home, which is sort of fascinating. You wouldn't think it would be one of the first five things.
It's an appliance for your wife.
It is. It is. And so, like, for a long time, it was very much along those lines, advertised in magazines with somewhat vague terms.
Like hysteria.
Well, yeah, but so, like, they would advertise it as, like, we'll bring the, like, the tingle of joy of life back to you and things like that. So being a little vague, but also, you know, trying to allude to, like, the fact that this was pleasurable.
And these were one-speed wonders.
Yeah.
You know, and they ran pretty fast.
Yep.
And so you got to remember, the vibrators by nature are designed to stimulate blood flow. And so whether you're holding a magic wand on the back of your neck, like it shows in the picture on the box, to get the sore muscles rejuvenated with blood flow, what you're doing is when you put it on your crotch, you're getting the blood flow down there, but you want to go with the right sensation instead of just the irritation, the itchy feeling.
Yeah. And to some extent, I think, you know, it seems like there is like it's so there's not sufficient research, in my opinion, going into this. But I think that there have been some indications that different vibrations can work for women at different times in their life. That what works for them now might not work for them later. There's definitely, you know, certainly I know someone who's a big magic wand devotee now who just couldn't use it for like earlier in her life, just too itchy.
I am thinking I'm going to have to discuss with my partners, what frequency are you?
Yeah.
So I can be sure I bring out the right toy at the right time. And are you a 20 hertz girl or are you a 120 hertz?
We'll get the test oscillator out and some power amps here. We'll figure it out.
Interestingly, there was a company that I think is, you know, folded, but they actually had an 80 hertz and 110 hertz, thinking that the 110 hertz was for the older woman and the 80 hertz is for the younger woman.
Okay.
They were an interesting company. They made some weird choices, but yeah, that was something that they felt very strongly was, you know, and people always have very strong feelings about things until they're brought to market, and then you sort of have to deal with the public's view.
I'm looking around here, and one thing I'm missing is you deal a lot with directly to female clients, and you're catering to female clients. I'm missing Super Kong. I'm missing these pieces of latex that are 24 inches long.
They look like your forearm.
Yeah. Where are those at here?
It turns out that women are not as interested in that as people think they are.
That's gay guys you're thinking about.
I will say Tontis has made some interesting. So they took one of their dildos and they added sort of essentially a handhold to it. I think it's, it's not 24 inches long, but it is longer than the dildo would otherwise be.
It's a good 14.
But now I see the comparison. That's the thickest thing I've seen is sitting right next to it.
That's true. The Vixen, Randy.
Also known as Stubby.
Yes. It's a shorter, wider dildo. It's a little more size queen oriented, but it's definitely representational. But I think that a lot of the like 24 inch things were kind of an attempt to address lesbians to some extent with maybe like a vague concept of how lesbians actually work. Now the double ended dildo, which is a lot more popular now, there's a lot of popularity with those, but there's definitely less of the just 24 inches long of flesh-colored latex.
Does that have a vibrator in it?
Yeah, so this does. This is the Happy Valley, which is an adorable company out of Canada that makes like nice silicone toys. They have sort of a more male-oriented line called Fuse, but this is they couldn't sell this in the U.S. for a while because of the patent that Tontis had on the Fieldo, but this is now importable and allowed.
So this is a female insertable that then looks like it has almost a boot grip that goes up the front of the crotch and a good 8-inch dick sticking out.
Yeah. And so like one of the things that I think has been interesting is that, so these have gotten more popular and while they don't work for everything, like they certainly don't work for everyone, but, I think that they grew in popularity. The Tontis Fieldo, I think is a very, I'm guessing high seller. I've sold a few throughout the years.
Is that a Tontis that you're looking at?
No. So this is actually one, I left my Tontis Fieldo at home because I think it's something that people are more familiar with already.
Is it special to you?
You know, I'm not much of a double-ended dildo person, but I do have friends that swear by them, that care about them very deeply. And they were really the first people in that game to produce them sort of on a major scale in a way that actually functioned for most people. This is actually by Wet for Her. They are a lesbian company out of Paris, and they have hit upon what I think is pretty smart, which is non-phallic toys that are for penetration. So their
stuff looks like a hand. It's two fingers.
Yes.
So they actually, their stuff is based on a hand and thumb. And so they have like two fingers as the penetrating part, and sort of the more thumb-oriented part is the part that you wear inside. And like they... They also make a finger extender for those of us that are like, I wish my fingers were longer.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one you have in your hand there. My fingers are not that long.
No, and that's quite long. But they also just make like a nice silicone little like finger extender that you can put on. And it's very nice.
I have sometimes get this crampy thing in the hand when I'm trying to get up into the with a cheaper.
Well, they have thought about that.
G-spot, you know.
It's because your fingers aren't long enough.
Yeah, they aren't. So, so we have lots of toys. Lots of toys. Tell us about your company.
Well, so I really just started because I really didn't like the idea of doing this type of work and having to sell stuff that other people kind of thought that I should. I definitely like looked at the sort of home party companies and things like that. And while I felt like my niche was never going to be like the heterosexual bachelorette party zone, I definitely didn't want to be selling like pheromone stuff and toys that were made out of materials that I didn't think were great options. So I was pretty interested in having something where I could sort of curate what I thought were a good selection of toys. I definitely, and I feel like a lot of what I do is looking for smaller companies, looking for sort of companies that are filling like a very specific thing. You know, it's nice to deal with small companies that are trying to do something that people aren't. And, you know, I certainly like some of the smaller companies have been hitting it big lately. Like, I think definitely that one of the nice innovations in the last 10 years is that we kind of, in the wake of the tech boom, got some of those people to come on over and work in this industry. And so you sort of for the first time see people that are like working in a design-centric mode where they care about the visuals, where they care about how the toys look as well as function. So sometimes you get really awesome functions and they look gorgeous. You know, so we see Fun Factory, they had Kareem Rashid come in to design a toy, a really pretty dildo called Mr. Pink that I'm actually quite fond of. I think it's a really brilliant toy texturally.
And it doesn't look like anything you've ever seen.
It's so lovely. Yes. It's so lovely.
It looks like a dog toy more than it does.
That is always a risk, you know. Yeah.
Yes. So let's get plugged in. How do people contact you?
You can find me via my website, Shop Friction. Probably when this goes out, the e-commerce side will be open. I still have some more stuff to get photographed that's come out more recently, but the basic work of that is done so that you can both book me for a consultation or shop on the site. You know, I talk about what materials are in a toy on each page.
So I see women in the workplace. Come over here. Here's a card. Check her out.
Yeah, I mean, I really have mostly worked via word of mouth, which has been nice because it means that your customers like you enough to tell their friends. And that's really rewarding. You know, repeat customers and people telling their friends, like, it's like a little hug because you know that you've helped them find something they like. You know, it's an interesting time because things are being developed in ways like Kickstarter and things like that. Companies are raising money. And sometimes it's because they think they have something that's going to change the world that isn't. But sometimes they make toys that are really neat. Like Minna, who I, again, really like, their toys are all based on squeezing. And so they actually raised about $200,000 on Kickstarter to put out a Kegel exerciser that is essentially like the jawbone up for your vagina. And it's a pretty interesting toy just visually. Everything they've done has been designed around squeezing.
What does it do?
So the idea is that it has a little vent here. Yeah. And so you put it in, you vent it so that it has like the shape of you.
Yeah.
When you're not flexing. And then you squeeze, you do Kegel exercises around it, and it gives you feedback based on that and vibration.
What kind of feedback?
Well, both to the app. It has an app for your phone.
There's an app for that.
Of course there's an app for that. Juju also is doing app stuff. WeVibe's new, the WeVibe 4 Plus now has an app. So there's a lot of stuff that can now be controlled via your phone.
I can just imagine women sitting at their desk.
Squeeze.
Checking their phone.
All right, I've got to get that up a little bit.
Well, you know, if you've got some time to kill, why not? And so... Yeah, so there are definitely a lot. There's definitely a lot more app interaction happening now. People wanting to control things with their apps, which is nice because sometimes remotes you lose.
What's that other squeeze device you have there? It looks like a lemon.
This is really one of my very favorite toys. Definitely one of my very favorite toys. Now, it's not just because of the color, but I'm not going to lie. The fact that it's available in teal is always exciting. But this is a toy that is the Mina Limon, and it also operates on the squeeze concept. So you squeeze the sides in a little like you were squeezing a lemon, and it vibrates more based on that. And it's a little rumbly. It's also just a beautifully designed toy, where when you turn it on, the little logo lights up on the side. When it charges, the little logo lights up on the side. So I appreciate it just for me.
Just a little feedback. So you squeeze a little and it vibrates a little. You squeeze more, it vibrates more.
Yeah, and you can also get it to learn a pattern. So you can make your own pattern. But it's just a really nice little external vibrator that's nice and rumbly.
Very nice.
And magnetically charging, and of course.
So for the male looking to shop for his partner, thank quality and thank the materials.
I mean, I think aren't trying to replicate yourself unless you want to like go the actual casting route. I think you want to look for something that she'll find visually appealing. That's made out of a nice material. I think there are things that are made out of like wood and steel and glass that are really like beautiful objects where even if she's going to take a while to warm up to it, she can still look at that and think, well, that sure is pretty.
It's artwork.
Yeah. It's a beautiful object.
You know, you talked about buying something for your mate. What if you want to buy something for yourself, Beast?
They don't work for me, but it sure looks interesting.
This is an interesting looking thing. Has a little spot there where you slip your dick into it.
It's sort of like a little manta ray hugging you, kind of.
It is. It creeps me out just thinking about that. But you turn it on, and it has
a
little.
What's this company's name?
So this is Hot Octopus.
Hot Octopus, okay.
Which is just a somewhat, I can talk about vaginas and vulvas all day. It does not faze me, but I kind of giggle every time I say Hot Octopus because I'm just like, you do like your puns. Okay.
Tentacle
so
sex.
This has a very intense little spot on the bottom of it. And so when this clips on, it's right under your dick. And, if you have any reasonable size at all, your dick will stick out the end of it. And then you could potentially mount a partner with it.
Yeah, so I think one thing that they found was that women actually liked sort of grinding against the toy because they got the rumbly vibration as well.
Right, yeah.
And so they sort of separated them off into the Pulse Solo and the Pulse Duo. They're pretty close to being a similar toy. One has an ABS plastic front and the other has a slightly silicone coated front. One thing I did want to briefly talk about was the fact that aside from the fact that anybody can say that anything is silicone, there is also the thing of what's internal when you're talking about that.
And she reaches into this bag that we haven't seen into yet.
Yes. So this was a toy that was released that was labeled silicone, and people are always looking for a cheaper silicone toy.
I'm afraid.
Now, so what happened is the woman who was like, you know, it's squishy in a really weird way. And so she was running a sex toy store and, you know, aiming at safer materials. So she eventually decided that she wanted to just cut into it to see what was inside. And what was inside was rags.
Yeah, those are
like cut up t-shirts. Like white cotton rag.
If you could see the Beast and I face, we're shocked.
I thought that it was a horrible accident and her panties were
her panties were stuffed inside the dildo.
That would be a very, very strange accident.
Yes.
But yeah. And so, you know, it's as people demand, you know, safer materials, because that's totally coming from a consumer desire. Companies want to make something that's affordable. And so they, in this case, the reason that it was only like mid-30s is because the majority of it was just based around rags, which I guess are sufficiently cheap enough. And so it's,
it
you know.
It's cotton. It is organic.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. I mean, I can't swear they're cotton. They could be microfiber now that I'm feeling them. They're pretty stretchy. But but so they...
Microfiber. What are we talking about? That's premium stuff there.
But so you have essentially like about... Maybe a quarter inch? Maybe a little bit less? No, maybe an eighth of an inch?
Eighth of an inch.
Being sort of the silicone base.
Between you and this
foreign
material.
I will say the rags seem to be clean, but I feel like in general, you know, that was surprising.
Well, if you get the slightest tear in there, right. It's going to suck up fluids like crazy.
Right. And so, you know, that's something that is helpful to know. Because you need to know that you've got to keep this one very puncture safe if you're going to use it.
I am thinking your mattress doubles in size over. Yeah. You sell to a lot of people that work, that they're single-use toys. Condoms?
Well, I think that depends on sort of, you know, the material that you're using and how many partners you have or plan
and
to use it with.
Fluid bonding and all
right.
that.
Right. So I think if there's any chance that you want to use it with a partner... A condom is a good option. One thing that you have to be aware of is that a majority of condoms, not all, but a fair number, use silicone lube. So ideally what you want to look for is an unlubed condom that you can lube yourself. Not a whole lot of them make them. Not a whole lot of companies make those. That's definitely something I will have in store.
So silicone lube with silicone toys, bad idea?
Right. So for a long time, people were nervous about putting silicone with other silicone. That seems to have dissipated a fair amount, but silicone lube on silicone toys is still pretty frowned upon. There are some companies that feel that their silicone is high quality enough, and with a high quality silicone lube, they'll be okay. But majority of the time, I think it's easier just to assume that don't mix them.
All right. Silicone based lubes. Some examples?
Eros, Sliquid, Silver, Pink. I think anything that... I'm trying to think. I think Gun Oil makes a silicone. I mean, most companies make a silicone at this point.
All the ones you just described, those are high-end. Those are expensive.
They are. Now, and again, so like, while you're not going to want to use... silicone lube on silicone toys. If you're not using a toy that's silicone, silicone's an awesome lube. It's much more, tends to have more staying power than something that's water-based. So, you know, if you don't have to worry about toys, I think it's a great option. There's definitely been a move away from glycerins and parabens in products for lube. And that's something that you've seen more in the smaller brands like Sliquid, rather than Astroglide. But even Astroglide are making now ones that are like natural and fluffy and, you know, paraben free because they've noticed that consumers want that.
And we've seen personal lubes move into the grocery store.
Yeah.
Astroglide. Exactly. And I think Kroger has their own brand of personal lubes.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
What was the thing that was in lubes a few years ago that is really bad?
Parabens are a preservative that people found were maybe bringing out estrogens, and that essentially they were like, maybe we don't want these in this. Mm. There was some concern about glycerin possibly being more likely to induce like a yeast infection or something, and so like there was a move away from that. Certainly the material in toys that people have moved away from is phthalates.
Crisco is no longer on the recommended list.
Oh, no. It's olive oil now. Come on.
Olive oil. Okay.
I mean, surely we're just a step away from kale oil in some fashion.
However, I hear people that use coconut oil.
Coconut oil is very popular. Now, one thing that I always have like a little bit of a panic attack about when people tell me that they're using that is that I hope they're not using condoms with it, because coconut oil will absolutely eat through a condom. Oil-based lubes, aside from silicone, will eat through condoms.
Good information.
Yeah. Now, that's definitely something that people have not realized and have had, you know, had incidents where that became apparent. If you, like, blow up a condom and put coconut oil on it, you will eventually see that that is not a safe...
Well, coconut oil is also... It can go rancid on you, so... There is a shelf life issue there.
Just real quick, we're running out of time on the show. What is this?
So that's the Fun Factory Cobra Libre 2. And that is a toy for the head of the penis. And so it also like vibrates.
It's a guy thing.
Yes, which I think is why it looks sort of like a sexy little
it's kind of like a race car.
Yeah, race car kind of look.
It sounds like a race car.
Because I feel like they didn't need those little wheels on there at all, but they really wanted it to look like a race car.
You got
to
hold on to something.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, I feel like that maybe had something to do with
it's
the overall design.
It's not coming near me.
Vibration doesn't work for everyone.
Vibration doesn't work, no.
Poor baby. Pink, it has been absolutely fantastic having you for the second time on our show. And you brought all these wonderful things. Just feel free to leave. And we'll clean
leave
up for
all
you.
Of them.
And it's Friction Shop.
Well, I have just started the real estate search definitely by the end of the year. A couple places are options right now.
You're going to be the next Babe Lang, Good Vibrations right
every
here.
Every city should have one. I'm just saying.
I do believe you're right. Because there is not a lot of options out there.
No, I mean, like, there was a point where one of my pairs of cuffs had disappeared, and I was trying to find something locally to replace them for an appointment that I had to go to. And I, like, went to some of the local sex toy stores and was just really bummed out by the quality, like, in terms of, like, the feel of the leather and stuff. And it's not, I don't think they're trying to sell low-quality products or anything. It's just, you know, they...
Well, it's market demand from the vanillas.
Yeah, that, there's definitely a lot of that going on with 50 Shades of Grey and stuff like that.
So get it cheap and give them the impression that they're really being bound with leather.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's sometimes it's just a feel thing. Like, I just feel like in general you want something a little softer.
Thank you so much. We will have you back again because you have more toys to show in a future episode.
Sadly, I can talk about this stuff forever.
Thank you so much.
That is Thanks. Not sad. Bye.
You have been listening to episode 71 of The Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we have the priestess.